It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Week 8 of the high school football season in the books. Here are your final scores. First of all, at the Falcon Athletic Complex last night, it was the Blair Oaks Falcons over Southern Boone, 71-34. In Columbia, Jefferson City came from behind in the last seconds of the ballgame to beat Columbia Battle 55-52. On the road in Sedalia, the Helias Crusaders over Sedalia Smith Cotton 35-3. And in Kansas City last night, it was Winnetonka over Capital City by a score of 47-21. As we mentioned, the Blair Oaks Falcons picking up the victory last night over the Eagles, 71-34, to move to 6-2 on the season. Joining us now is Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. First of all, it was senior night. Tell me about your seniors.
Well, we had six seniors, Kevin. Five of them are playing for us right now. We've got one that may make it back from injury here pretty quick, but we've got Kale Wilson, who's been out with a shoulder injury this year. Griffin Hurst, who started a bunch of games for us on the offensive line, does a really, really good job. Bryson Jeffries has been starting for us on the offensive line for 2 years. Tremendous young man. And then we have Zach Geller, who's the epitome of what high school football looks like. Not real big, not real fast, 100% attendance, 100% everything. With Kale being out, he stepped in and has been playing guard for us at 160 pounds, fighting his tail off. He's going to give you everything he's got. We got Zach Harrigan out at receiver, who's having just a tremendous year this year, catching the ball and running with it after the catch. And then Caden Garver, our running back, and he's really, really done a very good job for us. Each week just seems to be getting stronger and a better runner, and is really helping us down the stretch here.
You won last night by a score of 71-34, 56 points scored in the first quarter. You wore out our stat sheet last night, Coach.
Well, that wasn't intentional. We turned the ball over right on the opening kickoff, dropped the kickoff, give it right to him. Really a big stop. And I know you're going to say, holy cow, you give up 34 points. But our defense last night stepped up at times and looked like the defense we want to be. And that was one of the times they came out, ball on the 9-yard line, first and goal, and turn around and go 3 plays, -2 yards. They try a field goal, get a field goal block. That was a tremendous boost to us, and it's really going to help us today, I think, when our players watch film, to show what they can do when they just go out and have a good mindset. But, you know, offensively, we executed the way I thought we could in the first quarter. We dropped too many passes last night. We had a lot of drops, so we're going to have to look at how we can help our players with that. But defensively, even though we gave up some points, one of them was on the doggone kickoff return, and I don't. Mm-hmm. That is a unit we practice more than anything at practice over special teams, and then we get a lot of work in the games because we score so many points. Just one guy out of his lane, and ball went to the house. They found it. So we'll go back to work this morning on that. But I really felt our execution in the first quarter was very good in most facets.
You know, we talked about this last week, but you take a look at the Tri-County Conference, and again, last night there were 46, 50 points scored in different football games in the conference. And the bottom line, basically, is you take a look at it from the defensive standpoint, you're going to have to score in the Tri-County Conference because there's going to be a lot of points scored in a football game.
There are. There's a tremendous amount of senior quarterback athletes. There's one junior quarterback athlete that we know of, and he happens to be on our team, and a lot of senior-dominated teams that play very good offense. But the diverse amount of offenses, I think, is what really throws the monkey wrench into the system, because we go everything from a wing tee to a shotgun wing tee to no back to just different offenses, and everybody's got such a unique twist on it in the Tri-County, and then they can turn around and run it really effectively. So, I think that adds to it. But our biggest issue right now, and beating a dead horse with it, is youth on the defensive side. Last night, we had 5 series where we went 3 and outs on them. Then we'd have a series where one player would just have that little bit of a lapse, and it always seems to be right at the point of attack where the ball's going, and there's a big play. So as we talk about, we got to stop the roller coaster on defense, and somebody's got to step up and start making play. We made some position changes last night. We felt like Holden Brand being in the middle of the field as a linebacker for us. He was making great calls, putting us in the right position. You can see he was really talking, and that's something we haven't had on the defensive side, and assume that leadership position. So we're hoping that that is something that will help us in getting a little bit better at getting more stops on defense.
We talked about this with you last night on the pregame show about the fact that defensively Southern Boone was going to load the box. They did it last night. You came out throwing the football.
19 of our first 21 plays. I told Coach Briggs against Hallsville we threw very effectively, and I said, man, throw enough. We threw it 22 times. I said, we didn't throw it enough. We need to throw the ball. We got five guys that can go get it. And last night we had four different receivers catch touchdown passes. And Will Libert had an incredible night. He didn't catch a touchdown pass, but he had an incredible stat sheet night on catching the ball. I said, we have to throw the ball. We got a quarterback and throw it anywhere on the field. We just need to throw the ball more. Our line does a great job. We really felt like they were going to do some things to try to stop our run game. They did. They left six in the box to start the game. So we thought that was going to happen. It came to fruition, and then we just executed very well. Again, I thought we dropped too many passes, though. We had four or five drops in the first half that really kept us from putting more points on the board. And I think you and I have talked, I talked off the record probably with you, we're trying to change the mindset of our players that we're going to give up some points because of the youth on defense. But people are going, if we get up two or three scores, we can get a couple stops, a couple turnovers, we'll just keep scoring. And that's what we did last night, because it puts other teams in panic. And to be able to score points, sometimes we learned this a long time ago, coaching against Brent Eckley when he was at Montgomery County, and then he went to Union, and now he's at Jackson, does a tremendous job. He's going to put so much pressure on you because he's scoring so many points. It puts you in a different mindset, and you can get panicked by it. So that's one of the things we're trying to do right now, is get other teams to panic, to try to know that every time they touch the ball, they better score, because we're going to.
Boy, early in the football game, you talk about an interesting 40 seconds of the football game. You score on a 20-yard touchdown pass from Dylan Hare to Alec Weberg with 9:26 left to go in the opening quarter. That gave you the 8-0 lead. You kick it off, and Bradley Smith returns the kickoff 78 yards for a touchdown. And then they kick it off to you, and Zach Harrigan returns the kickoff 90 yards for a touchdown. And over a span of 40 seconds, we have two kickoff returns for touchdowns, a touchdown pass, and you keep lighting up the scoreboard.
Well, I really, it is something, again, the kickoff coverage, we had that fixed. You know, we had an opportunity. We had a young man this week that couldn't participate because of injury, and right where the spot where he was at seemed to be the spot that they worked on us on. We had really good coverage on some, but we had about three or four that were just looked like we hadn't practiced it, and that really is disturbing to me. But then on kickoff return, Zach Harrigan went out. We've always prided ourselves on kickoff return, and we had not had very good return. Blocks were set. He hit the lane, and Zach, it was lightning fast. He was able to outrun the other two guys, and it was just a really well-executed special teams play. And that had been something that had been a concern for us, so maybe we're going to get going where people – because last night they stopped kicking to us. Every time they kicked off, they started kicking, spraying it around because they didn't want to kick it deep on us. And that's what we want. If they're going to give us the ball on the 35-40-yard line every time, we'll take it.
Well, one of the numbers that really impresses me going into the final game of the regular season is the fact that going into that ball game on the road against School of the Osage next Friday, you're averaging over 55 points a ball game through eight games.
And we're not playing our best offense last night. We turned it over a couple times offensively again. We got in the red zone and didn't score. And that has been really kind of our Achilles heel. I know people are going to say, well, you're not playing great defense. Well, we're going to play enough defense. But against Hallsville, we had two possessions in the first quarter that ended up not being scores, one on the fumble, one on a drop touchdown pass. That would have been that were touchdowns because we fumbled it going into the end zone. Those are differences in the game, the Boonville game that we lost. We turned it over in the first series inside the 10. We had a drop touchdown pass there wide open, and that was in the end zone in the first three series. So we haven't played our best offense yet. That's what's really scary, is we feel like our best offense is in front of us, and our leader of our offense was really disgusted last night after the game because he felt like he missed some throws. He didn't like he threw the interception, even though that was more of a punt. You know, it was fourth and forever, and we just threw it up into the end zone, and the kid intercepted it. But he's a young man that is never satisfied, and that just parlays over into our whole entire offensive mindset. And they'll come in today, and they won't be very happy with it, and they'll try to get better this week.
for Dylan here. He hit over 420 yards passing the ball game, had four TDs in the air, two on the ground. He threw to four different receivers for those touchdowns.
Yeah, and I thought, the execution on most of the plays was really crisp. We've got a very, very good passing tree, as they like to say. One of the things we saw last night, Coach Leonard Brink was saying, hey, this combination is there, and we had late in the game. We're able to throw it. It looks just like another play, and Adam Hall came underneath it, and it was wide open. Dylan hit him on the run, and that was the last touchdown pass we threw. But really a play that we had not ran very much, but the execution on it last night was really crisp. And so that lets me know that we have confidence to be able to change in a game and to do things that we may have in our system, but we haven't used for a while. So that's real exciting, because if we can do that, we can make adjustments in our passing game to what they're playing coverage-wise. Now you can go to all avenues of the field, and that is what drives defensive coordinators crazy.
Let's spend a moment, talk about Jake Hagner. He had a 55-yard touchdown run for you late in the ball game. He is the backup quarterback on your football team, and he also had a pick late in the ball game.
Yeah, he's been playing for us. He started the corner. We've moved him to safety. Jake's an extremely athletic, extremely fast man. He's probably, he and Dylan are pretty identical on their team, on their speed. And so we know that what he can do, as a sophomore, he's been kind of feeling his way through the corner and the safety. And we felt like, he's a young man that, boy, once he gets it, he's going to get it. He's going to be pretty special for us. And with that run, it wasn't a very big hole. I mean, it was a really minuscule hole. And he hit that thing. And when he hits the next level, you're like, oh, that's gone. Mm-hmm. But on the defensive side, I really think that pick is going to be something that will give him some confidence, because he's always in position. It just looks like he's waiting and seeing. And that's, again, inexperience will make you not want to do something. You don't want to make a mistake. Last night he turned on that ball, went and got it, intercepted it. The receiver was all over him as he did it. That's something that you can build on, and you can start saying, all right, now we got a chance to start playing some defense, because you can do it, and now you can do it. Let's help those young men grow. There's a lot of things that can be barked at and yelled at, but, man, when they do something positive, I go back to old Pavlov's theory, man. You got to reward it, and we're going to reward him this morning. He'll greatly with some praise, because that was a heck of a play on that interception.
All right, Week 9 finds you on the road at School of the Osage. The Indians won last night. They beat Versailles by 10, 34-24. They come in with a mark of 3-5. One of the things I wanted to talk about with you as far as the district is concerned is that Southern Boone right now in the district is at number 5. You are at number 3. They're at number 5, and Osage is at number 6. You played Southern Boone last night. You play School of the Osage next Friday night. There's a possibility your first-round opponent may be one of those two teams.
Well, if you really look at it, Kevin, School of the Osage was beaten by Southern Boone, so it actually would be they would have to change spots. And with that situation being, we would have the possibility of right playing Southern Boone or School of the Osage, but the more likelihood is we'll have to play School of the Osage twice back-to-back weeks. Doesn't matter. Our players, we've discussed that scenario with them. Right now, we're talking about you're playing our best football in Week 10. We played a couple years ago, we played California back-to-back weeks. We played Booneville twice last year. It's one of those situations where you just play football. Don't worry about it. Don't do what you can control. And what we control is practicing this week to get better, to play Osage, play our best football, and then turn around and come back Week 10, and whoever we have to play that team that week. Can't worry about what you can't control. Right now we play School of the Osage next week. That's all we can control.
Yeah, I took a look at the district this morning before I came in for the show, and Osage's win last night is not factored in yet. And right now it's Mexico 1, Booneville 2, Blair Oaks 3, Eldon 4, Southern Boone 5, Osage 6, Fulton 7. Again, Osage victory has not been put into the system yet, and they were less than a half a point behind Southern Boone. And you take a look at it from the standpoint of Osage at number 6, Eldon at number 4, and the difference is less than a point and a half. It's going to get real exciting in the final week of the regular season to see how everybody ends up finishing and who you have in the first round.
Well, and within that combination, it starts at the top, and you work your way back. And if a team has played head-to-head and they're back-to-back, that team jumps the other team, and you can only be jumped once. So in that situation, Southern Boone who's in the fifth seed would jump Eldon in that situation because Southern Boone beat Eldon. So then you would not have another jump after that. They couldn't re-jump after that. So, again, there's some scenarios that are really funny. If you get caught up in the minutia of trying to go through all of it, sometimes you get lost in it. We can play week 9 and get better, so we're ready to play week 10.
Congratulations on the win last night. Good luck on Friday night down at School of the Osage. Thanks for the visit.
Hey, thank you for coming out and supporting us last night and giving us some coverage. We really appreciate it. I know the people of Red Oaks really appreciate all the coverage we get. Our community does. So thank you.
Thank you, Coach. We'll see you on down the road, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have a good weekend. Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Again, the win last night for the Falcons as they beat Southern Boone 71-34, the final score. Elsewhere in the Tri-County Conference, it was Hallsville over California 46-6. Osage beat Versailles 34-24. And Boonville beat Eldon 50-22. Back with more after the break.
When Raymer Brothers first opened their doors, they wanted to bring quality, one-of-a-kind, handcrafted furniture to mid-Missouri. And for over 25 years, they've been able to provide quality and affordable furniture for the dining room, living room, outside, and more. From traditional to modern, they're proud to showcase Amish and Mennonite furniture that lasts. And every piece comes with a 10-year warranty. Raymer Brothers Furniture, making furniture the American way for over 25 years. 87 and Highway C Junction in High Point. RaymerBrothers.com.
We're here today with Doug Hagenhoff, a consumer loan officer from Hawthorne Bank. Doug, take us through what you do and how you can help out at Hawthorne Bank.
What I do day to day, big piece of it is doing the home equity line of credit loans. So home equity line of credit is a loan against your house. It's a revolving line of credit, so you can use some, none, or all of the line that's available to you. There's no restrictions. The neatest thing is adoptions. I've had multiple, and that's just about as cool a thing as you can ever do.
Doug Hagenhoff from Hawthorne Bank, NMLS number 673313. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
When it's time to replenish your landscaping mulch, decorative rock, pool sand, screen topsoil, or driveway rock, your wallet and your back both cringe at the idea of buying and moving multiple bags of the stuff. But both will breathe a sigh of relief when you get it in bulk by the truckload from Capital Sand Company. Delivered anywhere in JC for just $50, saving time, money, and your back. On Facebook and at CapitalSandCompany.com.
Capital Sand Company. Just makes sense.
It's our most protective wash yet. Introducing the Quickar Ceramic Wash. It's an industrial-grade polymer solution with ceramic nanotechnology, resulting in high-end, advanced scientific protection of your vehicle's finish. The Quickar Ceramic Wash. Try it on its own or with the monthly unlimited wash club today. Quickar. Quick, easy, and professional every time. In Jefferson City and Osage Beach.
If there's a new pole barn, house, or shop in your future, Frontier Metal should be your only stop. Frontier Metal has all the building supplies you'll need. They fabricate metal so you can get the exact pieces you need. The Frontier Metal family was raised in the metal business and will get it right the first time. They even have their own lumber yard.
Hi, I'm Jerry Martin from Frontier Metal. Frontier Metal, your new frontier in building materials off Highway 52 in Versailles and at frontiermetal.biz.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. Last night in Columbia, the Jefferson City Jays defeat Columbia Battle by a score of 55-52. Joining us is Jefferson City Jays head football coach Damon Wells. Hey, how about the win last night, Coach? Congratulations.
Yeah, it was an incredibly neat experience, and it's great to win a basketball game like that. I'm totally kidding. Just playing on the score.
Some of the broadcasters would say you had them all the way.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of emotions, and it was fun. Obviously, that's a great game to win, and I couldn't be prouder of our boys. Truth be told, a few months ago, I felt like they were pretty fragile, and we talk at length about the difference of being a mature and an immature team, and we were up against it there. We faced a tremendous amount of adversity late. The Battle's a tough team. They're very talented. You could see that by their season. And our boys kept fighting, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
Boy, big fourth quarter for both football teams. I think a total of 36 points scored in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So that I oftentimes say that, whenever you watch the film, you're probably not nearly as good as you thought you were the night before, and you probably weren't as bad as you thought you were the night before. So there will definitely be some things that we need to clean up and improve upon, and I promise we will do just that.
A great bounce-back game for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely. But again, we kind of take from the very beginning, even, you know, when we're rolling and winning multiple games in a row, that we talk about viewing each game as its own unique week. So, and that's what we did last week. But again, I say frequently that it doesn't matter what a group of adults say if a group of boys won't buy in. And I absolutely felt like they did, and good for them.
Yeah, you take a look at that football game, about 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and you're ahead by a score of 48-30. Columbia Battle, a very good football team, especially on offense with Ricky Dunnett running back and the quarterback Justin Goolsby. And they come back and grab the lead late in the ball game with just over a minute left to play, and then you answer to win the ball game.
Absolutely. That was a huge drive. We hit a big pass, great ball on time, in space, very important. But again, it's just a ton of kids doing what we ask them to do. And we nearly popped that pass in the end zone. And the kids handled themselves well. They couldn't have been better. Even throughout, even when there was adversity, I know it's easy to say these things because we won, but they couldn't have been better on the sideline, even when the chips were down. They couldn't have been better in the huddle when we had to call a couple plays in a row with 20 seconds left. So couldn't be prouder of them.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about that for just a second. Columbia Battle gets their first lead of the ball game on, I believe, a 76-yard touchdown pass by Justin Goolsby with a little more than a minute left to go in the football game. Take us to the sidelines on your sideline after they got the first lead. What'd you talk about, and what'd you get the feel from your football team?
Legitimately, the entire focus was on trying to get a great return at that point. And I hate to overuse the word, but see if we could pull out a miracle here. We immediately began scripting what we were going to do with the ball, because we certainly didn't, you know, intend on the 76-yard touchdown pass. So we had to go to work. You know, there was not an ounce of negativity on the sideline from the kids. There was no remorse about what happened. It was strictly next play and going to work on how we could try to get this thing done.
You know, it was a situation, too, that when you had the football with just over a minute left to play, you had to score a touchdown. It wasn't a matter of getting yourself in field goal position to get a field goal to either tie or win the game. You needed to get a touchdown. You start the drive from the 43, and I think you had a key pass in that series that got you in good shape, didn't it?
We did, yeah, absolutely. And that's what I mean, that great protection. It was a great route, great ball. Everything was on time. We threw the ball two plays before that, and things broke down a little bit. So we were saved a little bit by our quarterback scrambling around and getting off of his primary and, you know, being responsible with the football, not taking a sack because that would have set us back quite a bit. But, you know, on the big one we did hit to get us down to the goal line, Zane Wings with a great catch. And then again, we talk all the time about the talented kids we have doing the work that's unseen. So aside from the great pass protection, after we hit that pass, David Bethune was downfield nearly blocking a kid out of bounds.
You score with 20 seconds left to go in the ball game on a touchdown by Kevion Pendleton, who had a huge night. I think he had 7 touchdowns last night in the ball game over Columbia Battle. We had you take us to the sidelines after Battle got their first lead with 1:09 left to go. Tell me what it was like on the sidelines when he scores with 20 seconds left to go in the ball game to give you the lead and the game.
You know, I don't know if I'm the best one to ask about that, because my total focus at that point was, okay, they get the ball back now, so we still need to go back to the drawing board to figure out how to get a stop here, because we knew that the job wasn't done. I do think I've heard stories, and I think I understand about how much these boys have been through. And there was a great deal of joy on the sideline, and good for them that, you know, they're in a position where they could do that. But the coaches were going back to work right away.
You know, when you pick up a victory like this, it puts a jump in the step of the football players, doesn't it?
It's just great. Yeah, it's great to be rewarded. It's one of those games where it'll rip your heart out if you don't get it done. Gets us back to 500, which is certainly not where we want to be, but it's sure a lot better than the alternative.
Well, spend a moment with that, because that was your fourth win in the last five games to get you to 4-4, so you're playing well.
Yeah, and again, all the credit in the world goes to the boys, because every coach in the world creates practice plans and asks kids to lift and so forth. But it's a struggle sometimes in some places. And here, you know, the boys have responded every step of the way. Tremendous attitudes. Again, I couldn't be more impressed with the response of the boys, like during timeouts and the huddle. They ask to be coached. They want to be coached. They want to be driven. And it's been fun.
Spend a moment. Tell me about the game Kevion Pendleton had. He had 7 touchdowns in the ball game. Also had a pick for you in the contest.
Couldn't be proud of him. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we do things wrong, because like after the game, somebody pointed out that he scored 7 touchdowns. And maybe it just makes me a terrible ball coach, but I didn't know that, because we do what's, we're wrapped up in trying to move the football, and we're going to try to move the football by any means necessary. And if we need to sling it, we had big plans on throwing the ball all over the field last night, but you know, everybody only gets 11 people on the field. So we do feel like there are different things available at different times. And with our system and with what the kids are allowed to do, you know, the ball could go anywhere. And I'm happy for Kevion, and again, all the sophomores and juniors on our offensive line that made that happen.
You know, Pendleton with the pick, and you cash in, and we're going to talk a little bit more for just a second about another interception in the ball game last night, and that was by Ethan Garnett, and you cashed in on that one as well. It's one thing to get turnovers, it's another to cash in on the mistakes made by the other team.
No doubt, and the big thing about Ethan's was we turned the ball over one time last night, and the ball was ripped out of one of our kids' hands. Great play. But Ethan's interception was right after we fumbled. So, and again, because we're where we are right now, I did take the opportunity to tell the young man for us that fumbled. I was like, see, there's no reason to get down. We need to forget about the past and not worry about the future. And I tried to use that as proof, as evidence that there's no reason to hang your head, because we got it right back and there was no consequence, partner. Honestly, we had the ball in better field position after that.
You know, I think that Damon Wells is a player's coach. Would you agree, and how would you define that?
I have no idea. I've never played for myself. I think teenage boys are complex beings. I think everybody is going through a million different things in life. But I also believe that absolutely everybody has a story about someone who has helped them. And I think that's our job as coaches, as adults, as men. But like I've said, even in this conversation, none of it matters unless the teenagers will trust you and buy in.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck on Friday night. You'll head up to St. Charles to take on Fort Zumwalt West.
Another Class 6 school.
Mm-hmm.
The party continues for this little 4A team. So thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show, Coach.
Okay.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Damon Wells. A little bit on Fort Zumwalt West as we go to the break. They are 2-5 on the season, scoring about 35 points a game, giving up about 41 points a ball game. But listen to this. Over a three-week period, they lost to Hannibal, who is 8-0, to Francis Howell, who is 7-1, and to Holt, who is 8-0. They play today at Troy. Kickoff is scheduled for 1 o'clock. Mike Ludwig, their quarterback, over 1,000 yards passing on the season. Top running back is Kyle Nunn, averages 6 yards a carry, 748 yards going into the ballgame this afternoon against Troy. the Jays on the road against Ford Zumwalt West in Week 9. Back with more after the break.
Zimmer News Network, committed to serving our local communities by providing local, accurate, reliable news you can count on as it happens. Get the latest news, weather, and traffic from our trusted news team of Brian Houseworth, Don Luzader, and John Marsh. Keeping our commitment to serving you with information you want, news you need. We are the Zimmer News Network on 104.5 News Radio 950. KWOS.
Hi, I'm Jeff DeLong, owner of Custom Screen Printing and Embroidery. We want to make your company stand out. Something that makes us really stand out is our people. Our art department, their creativity is pretty awesome. And production, their attention to detail. Our staff cares about it from the start to the end. Everybody in there wants to do the best job that they can. They want to be a friend doing business with a friend. I think that's what makes us shine, is just the fact that everybody in the office cares. Find us on the web at customscreen-emb.com.
Tired of not being able to see or speak to your doctor when you need them the most? Well, it's time that you get the care you've been waiting for. I'm Dr. Jeff Teeter with Titan Health Direct Primary Care. DPC is an innovative way to give you access to effective health care with a flat, affordable membership fee. No copays, no third-party billing, no insurance. You pay a low monthly fee and get access to your physician 24/7. Visit us at TitanHealthDPC.com and start getting the care you've been waiting for.
Take Heart Radio. Here's Dr. Monty Schenkel.
One of the best little books that helped me a lot years ago is a book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, Fee and Stewart. And they make this statement: a text cannot mean what it never meant. Now, this is kind of my conclusion this morning with regard to God's Word. You're going to handle this thing carefully and systematically, and you're going to trust it. Then don't do what I hear a lot of people say, and that is, well, this is what this passage means to me. If it didn't mean that to the original author, it can't mean that to you. Don't do that. You say, well, this is what it means to me. Can I be more blunt? I don't care. I don't care what it means to you. I want to know what it means, period.
To hear more messages from Take Heart Radio, visit us online at concordjc.org.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Let's take a look at the scores last night from the Central Missouri Activities Conference. It was Columbia Rockbridge over Columbia Hickman, 28-7. The Jays came from behind as they beat Columbia Battle in Columbia last night, 55-52. Winnetonka over Capital City, 47-21. And the Hawaii Crusaders defeat Sedalia Smith Cotton by a score of 35-3. And joining us is Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Congratulations on the win. Second straight year you win the conference outright. Second straight year you go undefeated in conference play.
Thank you, Kevin. A great accomplishment, and you know, hats off to all the coaches and players, and you know, a 2-year run in the conference and conference champs again and undefeated. That's something to be very proud of for Hawaii's football.
You know, it's tough to win a conference 2 years in a row, but to go undefeated both years, I mean, that's really a gold star, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, and that's it's a testament to the hard work and focus of all the coaches and players in our program, and you know, not to lose sight of, you know, that being one of our primary goals, and to work hard for it each and every week. And you know, for the players, you know, to do what the coaches are asking them to do, to stay focused, just play well. Those are all, you know, very, very great accomplishments and things that I know, you know, from top to bottom, our program is very proud of.
You know, you set a lot of goals at the start of the season. I would imagine that a conference title and undefeated conference season are a couple of boxes you can check off now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the city championship, the conference championship, and you know, the next thing that we're gunning for is a district title, and you know, what we do between now and you know, that those opportunities are going to really dictate whether or not we can accomplish that goal.
You win last night by a score of 35-3. They kick a field goal on the final play of the football game, so you had the shutout to the very end of the ball game. But you knew Sedalia Smith Cotton would come to play last night.
Yeah, you know, and it's something you know that we talked about all week, that you know, they're a really hard playing football team, and they hustle. You saw it on tape when you watched them, and you know, they did a few interesting things last night defensively that kind of slowed down our run game. But probably the biggest thing that they did last night that they hadn't done all year is they moved their big tight end to fullback. And, you know, they were able to control the ball a little bit and play keep away from us, particularly in the second half. I think the fourth quarter they ran 9 or 10 minutes off that on that last drive against our twos. But, you know, those big fullbacks that they were running at us, you know, they were just getting 3 or 4 yards a chunk, just kind of slowly, just kind of milking that clock. And, you know, I think when the plays were tallied at the end of the night, I think we ran 32 or 33 plays is all. And I think they ran about 65 plays. So you can see that, you know, they had a plan. And like I said, they played hard. And at times we didn't last night. I think overall we executed pretty well and we played pretty hard. But, you know, hats off to them. I thought they played really hard last night, the Sedalia did. And, you know, we came out, you know, and had some big plays early and jumped up on them early. And, you know, the outcome of the game was never in doubt. We knew we were going to win that football game. It wasn't a blowout like everyone thought it was going to be. But it was a hard-fought football game. It really was. It was physical. I know, you know, we're going to come in this morning here and watch some film and look at some things and correct some things. But I guarantee our guys are going to be sore. They usually come in at 9:30 for injury check, and we'll have some ice bags on some sore spots because today it was really physical last night.
You know, you take a look at the ball game, and you got the points you needed to win the ball game. Obviously, when you take a look at the fact that you win 35-3 on the second play of the game,
yeah, we had just a little zone option, and it was a play that we thought would be good, and you know, Drew was able to pitch the ball out to Cole, and Cole made a great run down the sidelines, cut back against the grain, and 80-yard touchdown. You know, for Cole, you know, he's really more of a fullback for us, really more of a slot receiver. But, you know, we do motion him sometimes, and he's, you know, he's an explosive athlete. We want to get him the ball as much as we can, and he was able to, you know, to really do something when we got it. So that was a great way to start the game. You know, they won the toss, they deferred, we received the ball, and, you know, 2 plays later, we're up 7-0.
You end up having a 21-point first quarter, led 28-0 at the half. One of the touchdowns that you had in the first quarter was the screen pass, I believe, from Drew Miller to Ryan Clark. You guys like to use the screen pass on a lot of routes that go underneath the linebackers.
Yeah, we actually, it was a little bubble screen. You know, we lined up in a 4-by-1 set, which we do because it helps us sprint out. We actually use our running back to help pin block the edge, and then we can sprint out against their man coverage. But, you know, we also noticed that the first time we lined up in that 4-by-1 set that they really didn't cover our, you know, our running back. And so we just ran a little bubble screen to them. We had good edge blocking by our fullback, tight end, and split receiver. And, you know, that was a nice touchdown for our second one. And, you know, that we got the ball back. Defense did a great job, got the ball back, I believe, on turnover. And then the third touchdown, we ran a nice little counter play. That was probably our, you know, the zone option and the counter play were our best two run plays of the night. We blocked it really well, and Carson Browner, you know, ran off tackle, and, you know, it was a nice little 25-30-yard run for a touchdown. And our last score of the half, you know, was a nice little, what we call kind of a scissors concept. It's a good man-beating concept, and Billy Underwood was open going down the seam, and drew through a really nice ball. And, you know, to go into halftime 28-0, it was a good first half of play. It really was. You know, like I said, we would have loved to have scored maybe one or two more times in the first half, but I think overall we were happy with the way we played in the first half. A little disappointed with our level of intensity, and that's one of the things we talked about at halftime. We just didn't have maybe the intensity or sense of urgency that we needed to have, you know, that championship football teams need to have. And we certainly challenged them with that at halftime, and, you know, trying to stop the fullback and things of that nature were some of our halftime adjustments. But you know, overall, you know, I thought it was a good night of football for us.
You take a look at the numbers, and your defense continues to play well. You held them to 3 points last night. You held the Jays to a touchdown the week before.
Yeah, you know, and you and I have talked about this before. You know, playing good defense, it seems as if that is not in vogue in high school football anymore. You have these gaudy scores and you know, just high scoring games, and that does happen sometimes. Sometimes offenses are just dominant, and you know, it's whoever has the ball last is going to win the game. And you know, we're really proud of our defense at Helias. You know, Coach Pitts and his staff, they do a wonderful job, and our kids really buy into the system. It is really, I won't say a complicated scheme, but It is an intricate scheme in that we can give a lot of looks to an offense and a lot of pressures from a lot of different ways. And, you know, for Coach Pitts, knowing when to call those pressures and those run blitzes and, you know, and how to match up, it's something I think we really excel at. And, you know, we have consistently played good defense. And, you know, that's key, you know, particularly in this day and age, you know. And, you know, there's always going to be challenges, and you're always going to run into offenses that have your number. But week in and week out, I think we play really, really solid defense. And that certainly gives our football team a great chance to win football games.
You know, I think what you're seeing not only on the high school level but the college and pros is that there's so many different looks that teams give defenses on offense, and there's just so many playmakers.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think one of the things we do, and we balance our practices, Kevin. You know, I think there's a lot of high school coaches that probably spend 70%+ of their time working on offense and probably 30% of their time working on defense. We're 50-50 split. You know, the time we spend on offense is the exact same time we spend on defense. And so I think, you know, if you make it a priority and you make it equally as important to your offense, you have a good chance to play good defense. And we've done that at Helias and really invest a lot of time there on that side of the ball. But you're right. At all levels, you know, you see offenses, you know, just like I said, whoever has the ball last is going to win that football game. And, you know, and there are times those things happen. They really are. But I think, you know, We're really proud of our stingy defense and our, you know, our hard nose and proud defensive efforts week in and week out. And I said, it's nice as an offense also going into a game knowing that you don't have to score 40-something points to win the game, that your defense is going to be out there getting the ball back, getting takeaways, getting stops, giving the ball back to the offense, giving them short fields, which we had a lot of last night. We had a lot of short fields. In order to, you know, to get those victories.
All right, you go to St. Louis on Friday night to take on the Vianney Golden Griffins. They won last night 42-0, so they are 1-7 on the season, but they play a tough schedule. They've got DeSmet, CBC, SLU, and Chaminade on their schedule.
Yeah, they do. They play in the Metro Catholic, and so you know they're playing the Giants out of St. Louis. And, you know, Coach Masters is the head coach there. You know, everyone's familiar with his time at Tolton. He's a good football coach, and you know, I know they've made some dramatic changes kind of in football philosophy at Vianney, you know, they're playing better football. You know, we really haven't dived in too deep to what they're doing schematically, but we're pretty familiar with Coach Masters and what he's going to do. You know, they're going to be a disciplined, you know, really well-coached football team, and we're looking forward to the challenge of going to St. Louis, going on the road. That'll be our longest road trip of the year. And going up there and, you know, playing a very good football team.
And this will probably be your only game over a two-week period. You're number two in the district right now, and there are six teams in the district. Top two teams in the district will draw a first-round bye. And last check, you got about a 10-point lead over number three Columbia Battle.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we kind of felt that about a week or so ago, that we were pretty much locked into that two spot. You know, we're not going to catch Holt. Holt's in the number one spot. You know, the only chance we had to catch Holt is if they would have lost to Francis Howell or Troy, and they did. They did not. They beat both of those teams. So they're locked into the one. We're pretty much locked into the two. I think the interesting thing going forward is who's going to be the three, who's going to be the four. That's kind of what we're keeping our eye on, you know, with Jeff City's win last night over Battle. You know, that helps, you know, Washington, who's sitting in the four spot. So it's going to be a tight race to that 3-4, and I think it's going to come down to next week's results. I know Battle has Hannibal, and I think Washington has a winnable game. So that'll be because for us, you know, that'll be our semifinal opponent, you know, who will, you know, and Cap City, I think, is going to probably be the six. So whoever's the three is going to play the six. But, you know, we're going to be treating that bye week like we always treat a bye week. We'll give the guys a day or so off and, you know, have a couple hard physical camp-like practices and, you know, just begin to prepare for two potential district semifinal opponents and make sure we're ready for either one when that time comes.
Yeah, excellent point with regard to the district. As you mentioned, Columbia Battle is at home to take on Hannibal in Week 9. Hannibal is 8-0. Washington is at home. They will take on Francis Howell Central. Central is 2-6, and Liberty Wentzville is number 5 right now, and they are at Holt, and Holt is 8-0. Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck Friday night up in St. Louis.
Thank you, Kevin.
Last Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinch is back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
This is Gary Vanderpelts, and on behalf of the owners, Chris and Liz Russell, I would like to personally invite you to our customer appreciation celebration at Extreme Body and Paint. Friday, October 22nd, beginning at 11 o'clock a.m. Thousands of customers have helped make Extreme Body and Paint the best auto collision repair center in the area with a commitment to customer service that is unequaled. That's why we are saying thank you by having a party complete with pork steaks, hot dogs and burgers, desserts, refreshments, and more. You can register for some really neat prizes, too. We are going to make this a day to remember, so tell your friends. Everyone is invited for our biggest anniversary ever, and it's all free. Friday, October 22nd at Extreme Body and Paint, just outside Jefferson City, at 1007 Lomo Drive, just off Highway 50. We've been saying it for years, take your car to the extreme.
We make it shine like new, Extreme Body and Paint.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 23rd. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your family medicine cabinet of unused and expired prescription drugs. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. To find a collection site near you, visit DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Here's a fact. COVID hospitalizations of young people have tripled since the start of summer. Also a fact. Vaccines are highly effective in preventing hospitalizations and deaths, even from the Delta variant. If you've got questions about COVID vaccines, talk to a doctor, because our kids are irreplaceable. We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
They're going to roll out to the right side. Mahomes will hold it. Hold it, fires it late back to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City potato chips for everyone! Byron Pringle atones for the fumble!
This Sunday, the Chiefs head to the nation's capital to try to get back on track against the Washington football team. Pregame starts at 11 right here on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Chiefs football with Steve's Pest Control on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Last night in Kansas City, Winnetonka over the Capital City Cavaliers, 47-21. Joining us now is Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. Coach, your take first of all on the football game last night.
I felt like we progressed last week, and then we kind of took a step back this week as far as alignment, assignment, technique, and that's and it's a couple things we need to reteach and refocus on.
Scoreless first quarter, but you had some chances, didn't you?
Had all the chances in the world, but didn't connect and didn't capitalize on the fumble that happened on their side. And we could have jumped out ahead. I thought a couple touchdowns, but we didn't take advantage of it.
And the Griffins too. They scored touchdowns in the first half on some big plays. They scored from 26 yards out, 55, 34, 76, and 54. So they get big plays to get on the board and lead, I believe, 33-7 at the half.
They couldn't run. So we were stopping them pretty handily in the run game, and so they took their chances up top. I thought it was balls. It was 50-50 balls too, and I thought we had an opportunity to take advantage of those too, and we did not.
As I mentioned, you get on the board in the second quarter. Tell me a little about the 26-yard touchdown run by Philip Richardson.
We felt like gap scheme is where we can get some yards, and not necessarily running outside is usually what we do with him, and zone. I thought gap, and so he we called a gap scheme play, and Philip will run it. If you give him a little hole, he's gonna get through it and get and then he can get big yards after he get in the open field.
Took a look at some of the numbers from last night. He had a big night running the football for you. I think he had close to 170 yards in the ball game.
The kid can run. He can run the ball. I mean, we like our chances in the run game with him.
So he's a nice addition to when we have Wood healthy. So it was good to see, you know, that kid's a sophomore. So it's good that, you know, he's progressing in that way. So and he was willing to, you know, take the load on his back last night.
You know, you take a look at the second half and the Griffins get a couple of special teams touchdowns, and both of them involving Jason Essex, one a kickoff return, one a punt return for a touchdown. He's a special player for them, isn't he?
You know, in the film we thought but to see him in person, I mean, you know, the kid's a specimen, and then it's a mixture between speed and power with him. You know, you think in your head high school receiver, but you know he's built like Terrell Owens. So you know that kid, he was all right. And I, you know, as I told you last week, I didn't look forward, and you know, and but Saturday after I talked to you, we kind of watched film, and then that was a guy that we were trying to mix coverages and things of that nature, and try to make sure he didn't get off like he did last night. But unfortunately, you know, he found other ways to get off.
He's one of those guys you really don't want to see film on, do you?
You know, it's like you know, when you watch it, you're like, okay, here we go.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep. You get a couple of touchdown passes in the second half. How about the night that Robert Gray had a couple of touchdown receptions for you?
You know, and the thing is, Robert's grown a lot, you know, this season, and it was good for him to see if he stays focused, what he can do. And I'm glad that happened for him because, you know, he's a kid that, you know, if things not going his way early on, he get a little fiery, and he stayed calm through all this last night and just refocused every time. And he dropped some balls, and then, you know, later on he was able to make up for it.
You know, you take a look at the numbers, and you had a better second half, didn't you, in the ball game last night?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, and I talked to you about, you know, just playing to potential, and you know, I would like to see us do that and not wait till we, you know, the game gets out of hand for us to start playing to a potential. But, you know, that's a tale of two teams, mm-hmm. with us. You know, it's just really just getting when we have some success like that, that's the team I see in practice. And I just wish we stay focused and you know, and start off like that.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning. We'll see you up in Kirksville on Friday night.
All right, now y'all have a blessing.
All right, Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Joe Collier. They will take on the Kirksville Tigers. Here's a little bit about the Tigers. Kirksville is 5-3 on the season. They have won 5 of their last 6 ball games. They shut out Fulton last night by a score of 20-0. They have a win over Mexico this year, and the Mexico Bulldogs are the number one team right now in the district that the Blair Oaks Falcons are in. The Bulldogs are 6-2 on the season. They beat Mexico by a score of 28-14. Last year, Capital City Cavaliers beat the Kirksville Tigers down here at Atkins Stadium. Final score was 13-7. On the air with our pregame show at 6:30, play-by-play at 7 o'clock, Friday from Kirksville. We'll see you next week.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.